This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, and wherever you get your podcasts. Did the Nuggets quit on Mike Malone? Did they quit? Because that's what Coach said they did. Got to get into Jordan Love and the Packers, too. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Suns go up 2-0 on Denver, and Michael Malone, head coach Michael Malone, is not happy. Suns won the game 123-98, and coach had this to say at the post-game presser.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency. And one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency. And that's why we got our ass kicked.
I didn't see that, Coach. What I saw was one team that's healthy completely, where you have Chris Paul and Devin Booker in the backcourt, where you have Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder in the frontcourt, where you have the biggest question mark, because you know how theoretically, like on paper, all those pieces fit perfectly. Perfectly. Floor general, point guard, looking for his first championship. Kind of the perfect point guard. Chris Paul can do everything. He can score. He can defend. He can lead. He can hook up his teammates. He leads the league in assists and hits dagger threes and gets to the rim and scores in the paint or finds his teammates. He does everything. Perfect. Devin Booker, the perfect off guard. He can handle the point if he has to, but he's a killer scorer from anywhere on the floor, and he can get his own shot. Mikal Bridges, the perfect 3-and-D guy. Jay Crowder, the perfect modern Swiss Army knife player. Guard multiple positions, also can shoot. And then DeAndre Ayton, the former number one overall pick, the big, who can also score and defend. And who Chris Paul is helping to mold. He's already a very good player, Ayton. But he was the one question mark. Okay, we know Chris Paul, Devin Booker. We know what Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder are going to do, and Cam Johnson off the bench, and Saric, you know, works well with Chris Paul. We know that already. And what's Ayton going to be? Well, we think Chris Paul have a good effect on him, you know, and yeah, he has. DeAndre Ayton's been matched up so far in the first two series of this playoffs with first Anthony Davis and then Nikola Jokic, and he's more than held his own. So, Michael Malone's Denver team is up against a very good starting five with a bench. And they're hungry. Thirsty even, Chris Paul, for a championship. That's where we start. Then we get to the fact that Coach Malone's second best player is not going to be available these playoffs because Jamal Murray is hurt. So it's Jokic and not the second best player. Okay, who else you got? Michael Porter Jr. Fortunately, you got a deep team. Michael Porter Jr. easily capable of being the second leading scorer on a playoff powerhouse. Except that by the end of game one, we saw those wraps on his back. And the reason he was drafted lower than he ought to have been, or it seemed at the time, was because of questions about his back. Medical reports. I know Jerry West saw the medical reports, right? And passed on him twice. So Stephen A. brings that up all the time. So Michael Porter Jr. was not able to be the second scoring option because he couldn't really play, not effectively. Okay, so what else you got? Well, Will Barton came back. Well, that's a good thing, except usually a guy who can do multiple things for you, especially, that first game back, they're not going to be, it's going to have a negative effect on the team, usually. You got to integrate the piece, reintegrate the piece. And Will Barton didn't play a ton of minutes, 15 or 16 minutes, whatever it was. But you could see it had a bad effect on the team. You got to get it over with. I mean, Barton's got to come back. You need him. But it messed with everyone's rotations, right? So you had more players playing, fewer minutes. And the player I noticed affect the most was Aaron Gordon, the third most important player on the team right now. I mean, without Jamal Murray, it's Jokic 1, Porter Jr. 2, Gordon 3. And Aaron Gordon had atypically in these playoffs, had a bad game. Atypically, meaning not normal for him. He's had a lot of good games. But he had a bad game. I think that's Will Barton. I think that's the rotation being messed with. And now Porter Jr. may not, you know, maybe if you would have rested him, which also was a bad option, but maybe it would have been better than what happened because maybe he'd be more fully healthy for game three. Coach, how are you feeling after that loss?
I felt we quit tonight, which is something you never want to see. So I guess for game three, I'm just going to try to find guys that will at least go out there and leave it all on the line. I may have a hard time coming up with five guys that fill that, but these two games, these second halves, have really been disappointing, and that's an understatement.
Oh, he's trying to push his team's buttons. I don't think he really believes they quit. I don't think they quit, but he's trying to push his team's buttons. I don't blame him. And you know who else is pushing buttons? Chris Paul, who is, you know, he's the perfect point guard, really. What doesn't he do? He scores on and off. Like, he doesn't need the ball in his hands to be effective. He's an excellent, even almost an elite off-ball scorer. With the ball in his hands, he's an all-time great decision maker. Not just finding the open man, beautiful passing, and, you know, but knowing when his team needs to score, when a certain guy needs to get the ball to get him going. Getting his teammates in the right position, and he defends. And he shoots from the outside, the mid-range, finishes in the paint, and he hits free throws. He does everything. And he also knows how to instill confidence in a young, ascending teammate. Listen to Chris Paul, what he said at the post-game press conference, and how this might affect a certain young teammate of his. Listen.
Can't ask for more from somebody like him. Like he guards, he runs, he rebounds, he does everything. He's literally been our MVP in the postseason so far.
Talking about DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's been very valuable in the postseason. Obviously, Chris Paul, or you could argue Devin Booker, have been the MVP. I'd say Chris Paul, given everything he's done. Although Devin Booker was a killer in that first series. But the point of Chris Paul saying that is to give props to Ayton in a way where everyone hears it. And, you know, like, if you want a big to defend, if you want a big to run the floor, you got to feed him, right? It's the same thing with the ego. You got to feed it. Look, big fella, you're doing all these things. You're doing great in your matchups with AD and Jokic, and I'm giving you your props. People are talking about me. They're talking about Booker. I'm talking about you. It's leadership. Clippers, meantime, and the Jazz. Utah is up 1-0. They're 3-point favorites at home against the Clips. Donovan Mitchell, can he do it again? Hell yeah. You can't stop Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs. He is, I went over this in the first hour. I have like Dante's Inferno. Here are the different levels of hell. I have different levels of clutch. From the topmost level, you're the greatest who ever did it, and under pressure, you get even better than the greatest of all time, who's you. That's Michael Jordan and Mariano Rivera. All the way down to the lowest level. You're the arguably the greatest who ever did it, but under pressure, you're terrible. You're the worst. And players like Peyton Manning and Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds have spent time in the lowest level. You're not a super great player. You give him enough reps, he ain't going to stay in that level. These are not like it. Not unlike Dante's Inferno, you don't stay in your level of hell forever. You can move between levels. But Donovan Mitchell is normally a great player. And when it matters most, he becomes an all-time great. That's the second highest level of clutch, right? What's Paul George going to do? Because Kawhi is the same thing. Kawhi is a half step below an MVP until it matters most. Then he's an all-time great MVP. Paul George is normally a great player. He's in regular season, he is an excellent player, an all-star. He's 23, 24, 25 points a game with great defense. And he's physically like the kind of player who succeeds in the playoffs. You know, the players who have a hard time in the playoffs are the guys who rely on timing and guile and smoke and mirrors, because in the playoffs, you're playing better players, better athletes who also have all that stuff, and they're athletic and big, right? It's the reason junk ball pitchers in baseball don't do well in the playoffs. The guys with the fastballs do. Same thing in basketball. I wonder if James Harden's, you know, relying on the Euro stepping and kind of stuff like that doesn't play as well in the playoffs. But Paul George, he's long, he's athletic, he can leap, he can shoot, he can defend. That should play up in the playoffs. So what's going on, PG? You what is it, playoff P? What is it? Is it between the ears? Is it just the way his adrenal response is to pressure? It tightens up? Normally, a great player, given enough reps, can shake that and get better under pressure. Paul George needs to be at least his normal, excellent self. If he is, the Clippers can beat the Jazz. If he's not, they can't. It's that simple. Oh, we got CP the franchise waiting. Knicks Fan TV joins me on the Goodyear Hotline right now. Look at CP, all dressed up like the Knicks are still in the playoffs or something. Hold on, what's that buzzing? Right away, there's a technical problem as soon as you come on. There's a buzzing. You got a cell phone too near a thing somehow. Yeah, something.
Buzzing, got it.
Something. CP in a second. Ma, what's going on? Right straight from his mother's basement. What's that, CP?
Sounds good on my end. You sound okay on my end. Is the buzzing still there in your
Yeah, it's still there. Brendan, is that happening with us too, or am I going crazy?
No, it's something on his connection, per usual. He's killing us here.
Just killing us. Just killing us. Unbelievable. You know what? It's unreal. Up now we can't hear him at all. Well, that's terrific. Brendan, can we do something about this?
I think we're just going to have to transition to the phone here.
All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take some calls while we try and figure out CP. Listen, if we can get it figured out, can we bring him? I want to do a full segment with CP. Can we get him in the next segment if it takes a couple minutes to do this?
He is ready there now.
Okay, good. CP the franchise. Ah, there he is. Yes, CP. I guess it was. Yes, yes. Can you hear me, CP? It's like the moon landing over here. There's all kinds of need NASA over here to figure this out. All right, look, CP, here's my contention is that great bigs, unlike wings, like, you know, Kobe can wing with Powell. Powell is not like an all-time MVP type player. He's a great player. But Kobe, Michael Jordan can wing with Scottie Pippen. Great player, but not like multiple MVP award type player. But a great big, Kareem, needs another guy like him. Oscar or Magic. A great big Shaq needs Kobe or D-Wade in his prime. Because the whole offense, they're not, you know, creating shots and the offense doesn't flow through them. They need someone else to get them the ball, right? So my point about Giannis is this. Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton ain't it. They're excellent. They're good players. But KD has Kyrie Irving. And when he's healthy, James Harden. It's different. I'm not saying Giannis is KD. But I'm saying you're not going to win a championship if Middleton and Holiday are the main support. Nevertheless, you can't go out like Giannis has been going out. How much pressure is on him tonight, CP?
Tremendous pressure. This is a legacy game. This is a statement game for the Greek Freak. There's no doubt about it, Max. He has to step up tonight. I agree with you wholeheartedly in that, you know, Middleton and Jrue Holiday may not be those guys. I don't think they're borderline all-stars, you know, right. In particular Middleton. And, you know, they've got to step up and help him out. But the thing is that I don't like how the coach is using the Greek Freak. Mm-hmm. He's not KD. He's not LeBron. He's not a guy that can go out and get his own shot. He can't create for others that well in isolation. And take a look at this stat. In the playoffs, he is 6 of 6 as the pick and roll man, 1.3 points per possession. But he's also they ran 9 plays as the pick and roll man. They ran 34 plays in the playoffs with him in isolation, 12 out of 28 from field goal range, 0.88 points per possession. They've got to be able to utilize him more in the pick and roll, hunt out those mismatches versus the Nets, see where he can get going as the
You think
man,
Jrue Holiday's the guy to do secondary. That though? You think Jrue Holiday's the guy to do that?
Max, they've got to try something. Him just chucking up shots. You know, his shot selection has been terrible. Yeah. They got too spoiled in that last game in the regular season against the Nets where he scored about 30, 40 points and he was great on the perimeter as a shooter. The Nets will live with that. In the playoffs, that may not work for you, and they have no secondary option.
By the way,
got to be able to get him going in the pick and roll.
This is what I mean by a guy on your level. Like, this is why, and really it's the Bucks, those three hedge fund guys who bought the team in Milwaukee and then played Milwaukee cheap. They didn't want to pay luxury tax. They let Brogdon walk out. And Brogdon's significance is not as his value to the team necessarily. It's that you can match salaries in a trade when guys become available. But because they didn't have Brogdon, they wound up with Jrue Holiday instead of Chris Paul. If you put Chris Paul with Giannis, and now you're running pick and rolls with Chris Paul and Giannis, by the way, you still don't have enough. You still need another guy, maybe at least Middleton, right? But at least now you're giving yourself a realistic fighting chance. Since I'm talking Chris Paul, CP the franchise here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, CP from Knicks Fans TV here on the Goodyear Hotline. Since I'm talking about Chris Paul, James Harden's going to have a ring when this postseason's over, which will leave Chris Paul without one. Will he be, at that point, the best player in the history of basketball, at least in the modern era, without a ring?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to put him right up there with the mailman, Karl Malone, Barkley, and my guy Patrick Ewing. Yeah, I'm going to slip the number 33 in there. Listen, Chris Paul has been absolutely dynamic in these playoffs. This series, he's back, you know, back from the shoulder injury, 38 dimes on 2 turnovers. 3 playoff games in his history, he's had 15 straight assists without a turnover. He's been absolutely a maestro for the Suns out there, getting his guys involved. They've been hunting Michael Porter Jr. down in the pick and roll, absolutely taking him to school. You know, Nuggets have been trying to keep Chris Paul isolated on the pick and roll to the sidelines. He snake dribbles back into the middle of the court, into the paint, and then he's a triple threat from there. They have absolutely no answer for him when he's getting out in transition and getting the Suns going. As you said, he's got Ayton activated, and we haven't even spoken about Devin Booker's brilliance and Chris Paul's impact on him. So certainly my MVP candidate this year, and he's got the Suns rolling.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to give Chris Paul credit for Booker, because Booker was killing the game in the bubble last year without Chris Paul there. You know, like, but certainly Ayton. Like, I just love the fact that the Suns on paper look like, ooh, that's really good. That's real. Oh, this is going to work out great. And even DeAndre Ayton should be aided by Chris Paul's presence. And it doesn't always work like this in sports, but sometimes just as you'd imagine it worked out. And so far, that's these Suns. They have to be considered live to get the whole thing done, at least in the Western Conference. All right, CP, before I let you go, can we expect anything from Paul George? I mean, like, if Paul George can just stay his normal self, the Clippers can come out of the West. But, like, he hasn't been able to do it. Signs of life. He went off in the fourth quarter. Can we expect – what should we expect from PG-13 tonight?
You have to expect – you have to hope for an aggressive effort from Paul George from start to finish. He had a good fourth quarter in game one, but he went into that fourth quarter with only 3 shot attempts from 3. That's not going to get it done. Tyronn Lue said in his post-game press conference, he says, when Rudy Gobert goes into that drop coverage, meaning when he lays back on the pick and roll to protect the paint, that is open opportunity for the Clippers to take good mid-range shots. Paul George was missed 8 of 9 field goal attempts from the mid-range. That's not going to get it done. Another thing that concerns me, Max, is that in the first game, you had a nice, efficient game from Luke Kennard. He had a great game. I liked what he gave him. He had an efficient game from Reggie Jackson as well. You can't expect those guys to do that again on the road. This is where your superstars step up. This is where your big money guys step up. I think the Claw will get back to it, but Paul George has got to help this team or else they're going to be down 2-0.
CP, you'll be surprised to hear maybe that when you want to put Patrick Ewing in there, I agree. Patrick Ewing gets slept on. Nice. He was a tremendous game changer, both ends of the floor. He could be your primary scoring option on a championship caliber team. They went to the finals and almost won with Patrick Ewing running the offense through Patrick Ewing with very little help. And he was a great defender. He was the anchor of a defense, a rim protector, great defender, and a hard worker. I would say the greatest player without a championship in the modern era, not guys I didn't see, not Elgin Baylor or someone like that, but that I've seen are James Harden, one. I think that's going to be over with this year. And I think the candidates for greatest player after this year without a ring are going to be Patrick Ewing, Chris Paul, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Allen Iverson. I think those 5 guys, and maybe one or two, I think those 5 guys would top my list. CP, the franchise, Knicks Fan TV, ladies and gentlemen. CP, as usual, a complete technological debacle. I hope
your mom
pays the Wi-Fi bill, whatever's going on. What's that?
I'm telling you.
What's that?
I said those are those guys from Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
It's going on Brandon's fault?
I think it's because you gave Raj the day off. I think that's what happened. It's a domino effect, man.
Interesting. He sabotaged you and then took the day off. CP, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, CP. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up, Jordan Love is ready to start week 1 for the Packers. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN+. The football offseason's always wild. All the trades, free agent signings, new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season, and if you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 888-SAY-ESPN, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
This is a time where I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps.
They never planned for him to be the starter in 2021.
I was drafted here to play quarterback. I'll definitely be ready week one.
A day like today might make the Packers think that they do have an opening day starter.
Do you have any pay-per-view buys Mayweather and Logan Paul had? The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Jordan Love, ready for week one? Here he is talking to the media about that very question.
Obviously, this is a time where I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that I might not have been getting in a normal circumstance. So, I'm going to take it day by day. That's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback. So I'll definitely be ready week one.
What's it like to be Jordan Love? And also, when's the last time you had a conversation or any sort of communication with Aaron Rodgers?
I've just been living my life, man. Obviously, me and Aaron, we got a good relationship. Talked to him probably a week before I got out here.
You know, there are those who believe that Jordan Love, that the Packers don't mind Rodgers missing this time because it allows them to evaluate Jordan Love. And then if that process is ongoing, depending on that evaluation, if they feel Love is ready to start, they're more confident in trading Aaron Rodgers, right? Now, what if they feel he's not ready to start, though? What if, contrary to his own opinion, the Packers' opinion is he's not ready yet, not to win a Super Bowl or to try, and the rest of the team we think is ready? Well, if that's what they believe, then they'd want to keep Aaron Rodgers, but they'd need to convince Rodgers to stay. So watch closely to the Packers' public position toward Rodgers. If you start to hear the Packers really being contrite and humble, showing a lot of public humility and contrition toward Rodgers, that means they don't love what they're seeing from Jordan Love. If they remain dug in, I think that means they do like what they're seeing from Jordan Love and believe that they can trade Rodgers. Of course, they're not going to want to let on that they trade Rodgers because then they won't get as much for him in a trade. Lewis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
If you're the Packers and you're looking at it from a management standpoint, from a strategic standpoint, you just sit and wait because there's no way you can win and really recoup maximum value or fair value for a guy of his caliber at this point. There's no way you can. So you need to really just sit and wait. You need to play this out to the very, very end with him and test his resolve as far as, is he really that committed to not playing for us? That's what they need to do. I don't want to see it happen that way. None of the fans want to see it happen that way. It should have never got to this point. But if you're the Packers now, that's what you have to do. You have to play a very, very high-stakes game of chicken with him.
I disagree. I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think, forget about the high-stakes game of chicken. I think they have to make a decision on Jordan Love. If they believe in Jordan Love, then you move on from Rodgers. Don't let on that you're going to trade him, but get bowled over by a trade. You'll get 3 firsts and other stuff. And if you like your quarterback, oh my God, you already have a powerhouse team. If they really like Jordan Love, then you have the quarterback you want and a bevy of high draft picks on top of their own draft picks. That's how you set up a dynasty, right? But if they don't like Jordan Love, you can't play chicken with Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely not. You got to have to, because he will be the deciding one. You have to change Rodgers' mind. And someone who had a very good idea, I think, in terms of how you would change his mind, I'm trying to remember if this was Booger McFarland or Teddy Bruschi. I apologize for not remembering exactly. It was on First Take the other day. And he told me, Max, if in fact they want to do that, the way to do that is by trading Jordan Love. And I think they're right. I think if they, like, their evaluation right now of Jordan Love will result in the trade of either Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers. The fact that you're not going to get a first for Jordan Love, just eat that. It's okay. You lose a little draft capital, big deal, but you keep Aaron Rodgers. And if you really like Love, then you let Rodgers go, and you get all those draft picks for him. Max Kellerman Show, brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW. That's 866-DADSLAW. Ali in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, it's Ali, not from Georgia, from Virginia. You guys got it right this time. Thank you very much.
Right.
Hey, I'm truly trying to like Giannis, man, but I have a hard time. Mm-hmm. Because when he's out there, I don't think he plays smart basketball. And if he's going to be handling the ball, like trying to play point forward, he needs to understand the situation. And I'm talking about Saturday when he had an opportunity to give Kevin Durant his fifth foul going into the fourth quarter. He decided to shoot a three, and then they went down and scored. And I just need him to show me that he's serious, and because if he's not – because if you're going to sit out there and shoot threes, then this thing's over.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And by the way, CB the Franchise brought it up. They need to use him in the pick and roll and stuff, but they don't have Chris Paul at point guard. They have Drew Holiday, and I like Drew Holiday a lot. But let me tell you what it would take to compete for a title. This is how gangster it is in the NBA. If they had Middleton and Holiday as their third and fourth best players, they probably still wouldn't win a championship, but they'd be more serious about it. They'd compete. If they had Chris Paul in addition to those guys. Well, you couldn't have had all that. Yes, you could have. If they hadn't have played Milwaukee cheap, those hedge fund guys who bought the team, the three guys, they didn't want to pay luxury tax, right? Well, okay. So you let Malcolm Brogdon walk away with no compensation for him instead of signing him to keep him using the bird rights to grandfather that contract in through the salary cap and then eventually flipping him in a Chris Paul deal, let's say. Now, what about Chris Paul running that offense with Drew Holiday as a combo backcourt running mate with Chris Paul in addition to Middleton and Giannis? Now you got something. Now you want to run a pick and roll with Giannis and Chris Paul and you got Chris Middleton out there who can really shoot? Okay, now you got something. And Drew Holiday who can shoot it well enough but also defend, especially smaller guards? But they didn't. And they ain't got enough. Coming up, you see how many people bought the Mayweather-Logan Paul fight on pay-per-view? Was it $50 a pop? UFC 263 is a can't-miss event. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's easy. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. So you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app and use code MAX for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's code MAX only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. 888-SAY-ESPN, The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, and wherever you get your podcasts, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
Max.
Before I get to the calls, no, actually, that should be a last take, not Axe Max. But Mayweather, Logan Paul did a million pay-per-view buys. I like the way these exhibition fights are priced, actually. Was it like $50? Because the real fights are priced higher, but like Tyson, Roy Jones, Mayweather, Logan Paul, you're not paying like you're paying for a premier pay-per-view event. It's not cheap, but a million buys at 50 bucks a pop, there's, you know, I didn't major in math, but according to my calculations, carry the one, you know, you get 50 million bucks there just from the pay-per-view. It's a lot of money. Floyd's going to make a lot when you advertising on the trunks, as he said, and all the pay-per-view revenue and all this, and Logan Paul's going to make millions. Multiple reports said Mayweather was guaranteed $10 million plus 50% of the pay-per-view haul. All right, so there's 25 plus 10 is 35. Logan Paul got $250,000 and 10% of the pay-per-view haul. So that's over $5 million. Not bad. And also, no one got hurt. It was fun to watch Mayweather box. Logan Paul gave it his all, threw a lot of punches in those first two rounds, was gassed eventually, of course, but still made the distance. Fans seemed happy. I don't know, like, same thing with, like, Tyson and Roy Jones. Was it epic? Was it amazing? No. But did I get what I paid for? Yes, I did. It wasn't even buyer beware. You knew what this was. It was an exhibition. And I found it fairly entertaining. But more than that, ding, ding, round one. Do you need to watch it? And do you need to watch it live? Right? Like, you wouldn't DVR the Super Bowl and watch it after the fact. The whole point is it's immediate. Same thing here. When the bell for round one sounded, you had to be watching. And that's how you make a big event. You got to make an event that's compelling to the point where you must see it live. Something about it. And then the outcome was pretty good. 888-SAY-ESPN, Richard in Manhattan. You're on the Max Kellerman Show. What you want to ask me?
Max, if Chris Paul wins the championship,
yeah,
it'll be one of the greatest upsets ever in NBA history for him to carry this team to the finals victory.
Why?
And I would
why would that be an upset?
Nobody had Phoenix before the season even close to winning the NBA championship.
Oh, wait a minute now. If I thought Phoenix was going to be a powerhouse in the Western Conference, I didn't like them against the Lakers because I felt Ayton was a little green. But if you would have told me that AD wasn't going to play, basically, in the playoffs and LeBron was on a bad ankle, sure you could take Phoenix coming out of the West.
I'm talking about the beginning of the year.
Okay, I would not call it one of the great upsets in sports history. I thought Phoenix had a loaded roster before the season started. And you know,
I would put Chris Paul in a class with Isaiah Thomas if he wins this championship.
Agreed. I'd put him in a class with Isaiah. He shoots better than Isaiah, but Isaiah won two championships. But I agree. He's right there. As when you talk about the greatest smaller point guards who ever lived, he's right there with Isaiah. Yeah.
Max, one more thing. Has there ever been someone like Steve Nash, mm-hmm, who not only had no head coaching experience, mm-hmm, no assistant head coaching experience, no front office coaching experience, and no broadcasting experience to come and coach a team and possibly coach a team to a championship? Has that ever or will ever that happen again?
Yeah, I think it will happen again, because if it's your boy, you know, if superstars form their own teams and they like former teammates or coaches or like former teammates or basketball legends, then I think it will happen again where they say, yeah, I want to give this guy doesn't have experience, but I think he'd be a good head coach. Like, you know, any team that could, let's say the Knicks, they've established a culture that's healthy enough that now superstars want to play there. And let's say it's Giannis and Bradley Beal and someone else who all want to come together on the Knicks. And they want to bring their own guy to coach. What, are the Knicks going to say no? Well, they're going to say yes. They're going to want the best possible players. And if that comes along with the coach of those players choosing, then that's what will happen. I do think it'll happen again. And Nash's, the other thing about Nash, especially with D'Antoni on the bench, on a team, you know, kind of whose offense will be, when he's healthy, orchestrated by James Harden. Is Nash the head coach? Yes, but it'll be D'Antoni's system. It'll be a point guard. And Nash, D'Antoni, and Harden all understand the system extremely well. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying about Steve Nash. I just don't think that's a big deal. And I Richard always has a good thought-out take. I also don't think it's such a big upset if the Suns win. You know, injuries changed the equation. And I always thought the Suns were loaded this year. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What you got to ask me?
Max, Clippers in a little box in the point. Clippers, they got to go deep into the bench. I'm tired of seeing Mars go 1-for-10. Terrence Mann's their best guard. You brought in Rondo, and I want to see DeMarcus Cousins. Now, here's a fellow that's in the Hall of Fame, which I think he would have a hard time fighting you. Why is Sylvester Stallone in the Boxing Hall of Fame? It's all an act, right? Am I right?
I didn't hear everything you were saying, but you're mad about Sylvester Stallone being in the Hall. Why did Rocky get a statue in Philly that stayed up for so long, right? It's part
That's
of it. By the way, I refer to Drago and Apollo Creed as though the fight really happened. I'm like, well, if you want to talk about exhibitions, you want an ending like Drago and Apollo Creed, it's fiction. But do I think that that there's a place in the Boxing Hall of Fame for Rocky? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do think. Like, if you put a great writer, a great baseball writer in the Baseball Hall of Fame, I think that's okay. I'm not against Hall of Fames honoring the very best in, you know, from different walks of life in a given industry. Boy, that was poorly phrased. All right, listen. It's a long day. I'll see you tomorrow. Shanae Angola Jr. coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.